Today's study is, again, in Philippians. I think we left off last week in verse 17 of chapter 1. And today's study is 63 in what I've entitled Wisdom. And to realize that we're in the last seven books that the Apostle Paul wrote. I'm doing it from Jack Everly's Workman's Interlinear, along with my own notes here and looking at some of the things that he had said and where to go to give you and myself the urgency to look and to realize that the way Paul wrote things and the way he said things and the way that the Lord called him was a situation to where he talked to these people, and of course he talked to them during the Acts period, because this was when his ministry got started, and it didn't start in a good way because he was persecuting those that looked at Christ as being their Messiah. But he soon learned that he was on the wrong side of the track with that, and so after being struck blind for 3 days, he was prayed for, and he kind of got himself tuned up to do what he's doing here. And what he's doing here, we went through Ephesians, and Paul has told us about the body of Christ and how that Christ is making a new gift for us, because during the Acts period, you know, we were being grafted into Israel to make them jealous. And that to be grafted in is a wild olive tree into the tame olive branch, which were the Jews, and such, as it would cause them to bear the fruit that was expected of them to bear as being sons of Abraham. And so we've gotten where Paul landed in Italy, and he went to see the leader of Rome there to try to get these people that were dogging him around to get off his rear end. And that kind of worked some, but it didn't work fully. But yet he had a short time during the time that he wrote these seven books that he was free for a little while. But we've been taking up Philippians now, which is the second book. And Paul had a great love for these Philippians, and they to him, because I think they were the ones that were providing the money for his hired house where he was staying there in Rome. But he was being let stay there, but he was chained to a prison guard. And when Paul started to write this letter back to the Philippians, he was writing back to them about himself with reference of the confidence that he had in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the confidence that he had of this new understanding that he got, which we call mystery truth, that hadn't been given to anybody else. And so as we go along here in Philippians, Paul is writing back with his confidence with reference to himself and how he was doing, and he was going to send it back to them so they could joy and rejoice in his work that he was doing while in Rome. And so that's where we are. We're going to go down through verse 26 with this before it changes a little bit. So we've got down to 17:18. So I'm going to read 17, just read it, and then we'll get involved with our study 63. And this is the seventh day of October 2020. And for the tape. And I'm just going to read 17 and then 18 with out of the King James, and we'll get started with that. And we'll do it as we've been doing it that way and look at the four or five different aspects of this as we go along to give us a greater foothold in what's being said here. So 17 says this. Well, I'll just jump back to 16 and say, he's talking about one preaching Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add afflictions to my bonds or to my chains or to what I have been charged with. Because the charge there was not a crime, it was a charge of belief, more or less. Then he says in 17, but the other, and you could add preach there, of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. And that's where we left off last week. But now, the next verse has the word in it, what then? Or why bring this up? As maybe you would say. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Paul says, Christ is preached. And I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. Because to Paul, the cause of Christ, whether it was preached out of for one reason or for another reason, that the word of Christ was going out. And so my notes was, what then? Or why bring this up? And he says, notwithstanding, or saying that you will know or would know every way, and we realize that God knows and hears all anyway. So whether by or in pretense, or whether it be in truth, Christ is preached, because it can be used by God in any way that he desires. And so Paul says, I therein rejoice. And we've talked about this. You know, the golden thread in Ephesians was grace. And through those six chapters in Ephesians, you find that grace was great in theme there. And here it is joy or rejoicing. It says, Paul says, yea or yeah, and will rejoice. I will rejoice. And so that's my notes that I have of verse 18 there. But when I look at in the Workman's Interlinear and look at Jack's writing there, where it's been brought down into the English, it says, what? For nevertheless, that every way, whether by pretext or whether by truth, Christ is announced. And announced there is another word, I think, for preaching. But if you announce Christ, then you're introducing Christ into the play here, or into what is being said here. And if that's done, Paul says, and in this I rejoice, rather also I will rejoice. And then in today's English, it says, for what nevertheless, that every way, whether by pretext but by truth, Christ is announced, or he is brought forward, and in this I rejoice and will rejoice. And so Jack says when he's reading this, writing this, this is a great message here for all who will be his servant. Ours is not the judgment of others who serve. Our perceptions are apt to be faulty, not knowing what he or she knows. But God knows his servants, those who are and those who aren't. He knows the conditions and the difficulties of those who would serve. With that in mind, best to leave such to his dear hands. And we should rejoice in the message, whatever the message is. And if you hear the message and you feel like it's incorrect, and which every time I turn on the radio or get involved somewhere, I find some of this that I don't think is correct, but still, Christ is being preached. And so that's something that we shouldn't fault. And if it's happening, Paul says, I'm going to rejoice at that. So if you go to verse 21, and we haven't been there yet, but this is what Jack says to look at in Philippians 1:21. That's on the same page where we just read 18, 16, 17, and 18. And Paul says this, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And certainly Paul could say this. We're getting ahead of ourselves a little bit in this situation. That's okay, because we'll get there in a little bit. We'll see why it was put there and why Jack wanted to include it in this year, because he's making a point here that we're not to judge God's servants. Now, let's look at Galatians chapter 6 and verse 4. In Galatians 6, 4. Let me get on the right page. I got Galatians 6. Galatians, no, it ain't 6, 4, it's 6, 14, I'm sorry. Sometimes things begin to run together a little bit when you get as old as I am. 6:14 says this, but God forbid, and this is Paul talking to the Galatians here, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Because you see, Paul here talking to the Galatians has, even back that far back, he has taken on this understanding that his ministry is more than he laid out earlier on, because he couldn't do that. He wasn't allowed to do that until God says, okay, Paul, through the Spirit, I'm going to tell you what to write down. And you write it down, but we can still go back to it and use that as a point of reference that you knew this at that point. Okay? Now, let's look at it again. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's glory was the finished work of Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Because when they crucified Christ, it was if we all were crucified with him, because we all were set free from that sin that we had. Amen. That day.
The identification.
Whether we was born or not. But Paul was there, and Paul now understands, well, when the day that happened to our Lord, it was the same as if it had happened to me, because he took my place there. And that's what we're looking at. But now, before we leave this verse of scripture, let's turn over a page or two and go to Colossians 1 for just a minute. And we ain't been in Colossians yet much, other than just a glance at something as we go by. Colossians 1:18. Okay, we talked in Galatians 6:14 about the cross of Christ and the finished work that was done on the cross of Christ. But you see, you got to go to Ephesians. To realize some of this stuff. And when you get to Ephesians, I'm going to read Colossians 1:17, 18, and 19. Because this is what you don't normally get if you go down to the corner church and hear that Christ paid for your sins on the cross. That's not the rest of the story. But here in Colossians, you're getting a little more of the rest of the story, because we've already been through Ephesians, and we've already learned that now we understand things that nobody else got before it was given to Paul. And so Paul has got a little system here that he knows now, and that he understands that what Christ couldn't tell you and me in these other books like Romans and Galatians, in places that he was not allowed to expand upon this until it was time to be told. But you see, part of the reason for that was that Israel was going to be set aside, and if we'd been drawn into Israel's hope, what did that do for us?
set aside right along with it.
So, he is telling us new things about our hope. Here, see? Colossians 1:17, and he, Christ Jesus, is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. So Christ, when he went and he gave up that blood, he also gave up that body. When he come back, he had a body that we could recognize because he was with man for 40 days here that he had been with him for 3 years. But that situation there was the body of recognition. It was the body that if you looked at his hands, you could see the nail prints. If you did this or you did that, you would see and know and listen to him. You could tell that this was he that was on the cross and that had given his life. But Christ was a head now without a body. Because the body that he had been given was a kinsman redeemer body, made out of flesh and blood. And God took care of that. No flesh and blood.
Amen.
Can be there. So he did away with that. So Christ came back and was here for the 40 days. And when he went back, he sat down on the right hand of the Father as a head without a body. And we as believers in that assembly make up the body of Christ along with those angelic order that did not come out of heaven with the ones that came with Satan. So here we are. This is basically the rest of the story. This is basically our now. This is basically our new inheritance, to be in him, to be a part of him, to do that he wills us to do. We were not promised part of the kingdom hope. We just got brought into it by a way to make them work harder to get their hope. But yet, here we are now. And Paul says, whether it be right or wrong, if Christ is brought up in the conversation, he can rejoice out of that. Let's go to verse 19 of Philippians 1. I have to remember to turn back to Philippians 1. 1:19 says, for I know, this is back in the King James Version, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So in 19 it says what? I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayers and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So Paul says, for I know. I have come to knowledge. I have come to understanding. Because if I tell you I know something, it has been put in my mind and put in my heart. Because this is where truth and righteousness comes from. To have a mind and a heart that is in tune with each other. That's what the Holy Spirit does for us. And this will turn to my salvation. Through or by the way of your prayer for me. And Paul realizes that his understanding of God's grace will increase by the prayers of those that he calls saints. Okay? And the supply of the Holy Spirit given by Christ Jesus. Isn't that something? You remember back in early on in Acts when these people were told to stay here until they were endowed with the power from on high at Pentecost. It was only 7 days from Pentecost. And when that happened, there were people in Jerusalem from all over the world that had been Jews that had been taken away or born somewhere else other than Jerusalem, but they were then back in Jerusalem. But many of them spoke different languages. And so the first thing that the Holy Spirit did when it come upon them or in them,
took away the language barrier.
It took away that language barrier. You didn't have to go somewhere and learn Bible.
And it's huge when you're trying to get something done.
Yeah.
I know that from trying to deal with the Chinese.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. But you think they were people there from all over the known world that spoke all these languages. How in the world were they going to do it? Well, that was understood.
Yeah, Peter rattles off the list of who was there and where they were from in Acts 2.
Right. And so that's the thing. So since you mentioned Peter, let's see what Jack had to say about it. Because verse 19, one of the places that Jack says to look is in Peter. Verse 19, brought down out of the Koine Greek, says, "For I know that this for me shall turn into salvation through the of your supplications and supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ." Wonderfully said. "For I know that this shall for me turn into salvation through your supplications or through your prayers and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ." And that is the Holy Spirit that lives within us now. See, in the Old Testament, it was either with or upon. They never really indwelled that much. Some instances, maybe yes. But it truly had to be an occurrence. But here, the Holy Spirit can indwell you and me. How do we know? How do we know? Good question, isn't it? But the Holy Spirit, see, is our GPS. And you know, our GPS is God's perfect Son living within us. And so the direction isn't so hard to get then, is it? If we will allow him that space and that work. Because he knows what we need every day, all day. Okay. Jack says this. Turn into salvation is different from the often misquoted turn to my salvation. There is little difference, however. The concept to be understood is that the matter spoken of here will go along directly with salvation. They will be part of the package accompanying Paul's salvation. They are works accompanying salvation and counted toward Paul's furtherance of the faith. And you see, our faith is based upon the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was his faith that would finish us in our faith, because we can draw from the faith of Christ, which is always truth, which is always righteousness. Yeah. And we can get this direction, we can get this understanding. So let's look at 1 Peter. We're going to look at 1 Peter 1:11. And 1 Peter 1, and I always get to James, knowing I'm close. Okay. 1 Peter 1:11, if you have a companion Bible, it's on 1856 page. And it says this in Peter is saying this, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. You see, even Peter understood, I think, that the indwelling Spirit, after the 10th or 11th chapter of the book of Acts, the indwelling Spirit was a little different from the Spirit that they had before. So Peter was privileged in seeing what was and seeing what is. Turn into salvation. What a great thought. Okay, let's turn a page or two over and look at 2 Peter. Now, this is the old fisherman, man. Remember?
Good old impetuous Peter.
Yeah. 2 Peter. And it says 2 Peter 1:5. Okay, that's on page 1864. And it says in 2 Peter 1:5, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge. Well, let's just go on. And to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brother kindliness, charity. And you know what he said in other places about charity. love. This love is the greatest of all. The love of God toward mankind is the greatest thing that you and I could have.
Amen.
And that's the grace of God at work. Okay. Let's go back to Galatians for a minute. Let's go back to Galatians 2. And look at verse 5. That's on page 1751 if you have a CB. Galatians 2:5 says, to whom we gave place by subjection, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. You know, Paul and his entourage in Galatians, I suppose, used a lot of time to give these people the understanding that they had in that day. Now let's look at Romans 8:9. And again, this is kind of like being in a Bible conference, you know, because we're trying to get through these things and look at all the representations that goes along with this. So we're going to look at Romans 8, verse 9, and that's on page 1677. It says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So if you don't have the indwelling spirit, in my view, the only thing you have left on this earth as hope is life through his name, the book of John. I think that was why it was written. Because a lot of people will come down the aisle in a church sitting and they'll get down and say a prayer with the preacher or the minister. And get up and vow that yes, they were saved. And then a week or two later, you never see them again. Did the Spirit of Christ enter into them people at that time or not? Well, you see, this entering in thing or this getting the Spirit is a God-given thing. And I don't think it's something that you can really feel the ground shake when it happens. But it's something that makes you and I tremble when we walk on this ground that this Lord created. Because that's how great it is. And so there you go. 8:9. But we are not in the flesh. You see, we are, as long as we live here. But we're driven by this spirit. Our GPS that's telling us how to go, where to go, and how to go, and what to do. So be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Why is it that we can sit down and read the Bible and come to an understanding and get up and other people say, well, I'm going to wait and let my preacher tell me what I need to know. Boy, that's the difference. If you want to see a difference, or if a question comes up and says, well, wait a minute, I need to go and ask my preacher. Uh-uh. You better get down on your knees, or you better go somewhere, even with your eyes wide open, is okay. And you pray to God that he would give you the spirit of wisdom and understanding, that you can know and understand it yourself. Mm-hmm. It wasn't meant for somebody else to tell you what you needed to know. It was meant for someone else to help you come to an understanding that you would know the truth of God. And this is why I'm sitting here today, tonight. That we can help each other. But sometimes it don't do a whole lot of good to hear a verse or two of scripture and then the rest of it's stories about something. This is not stories about something. This is the truth that God wanted us to know about what he has done for us down through the ages. And here we are. Verse 19. Let's look at verse 20. You got time?
Yes, 9:20.
Okay. Let's do one more. Don't seem like we're getting very far, but if we're taking all this in, if we're getting understanding from this, if we're getting direction from this, then this is what we're supposed to do.
I think quality always trumps quantity.
Yeah.
Well, in most cases. You're talking barbecue, right? Maybe not.
Yeah. Now, if I do that, I would not, in the King James Version. Am I in the right one? No. Just got down through. Wait a minute. I'm not in Philippians. I'm in Romans. I'm sorry. Romans. I leave behind and go to Philippians 1:20. And Paul says this. According to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all holiness, boldness, as always and now also, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Here we come to the big rock in the road, folks. We have to stop and look at this to see how we're going to get around this. According to my earnest expectations, expectations is 603 in the Strong. That's to have one's mind folded together in the reverence, in the revered things of God. You know, your mind can be an open page. And once you learn something, it can be folded together for remembrance, for understanding, and from calling back. And Paul says, in my hope of the body of Christ. If I have a hope in the body of Christ, there needs to be nothing to be ashamed of. Now with all boldness always, Paul says, Christ shall be magnified or enlarged in my body. He will increase. I will decrease. If it be by life or death, he understands this. And so the things that Christ could not tell us when he was here on the earth because it wasn't time, according to the Father, that it be revealed. But now it's being revealed by the Apostle Paul. So the Apostle Paul is taking upon himself the things that Christ could not do. And so therefore, he feels this urgency in his body to get it further along than anybody else, although he has said in other places in Ephesians that I am less than the least of all saints because of what he did when he first began to realize these things that were gonna, that he was going to be called out to do. According to my earnest expectations, to have your mind brought in focus. And my hope, and that focus is in the body of Christ. Two things in line here, with nothing to be ashamed of, and with boldness always. Because that's what Paul tried to do in his lifetime. He didn't want to be ashamed of anything, but he wanted to have the boldness to speak. He wanted to have the boldness to do what God had called him to do without hindrance. Now, with all boldness always, Christ shall be magnified or enlarged in my body. So Paul was getting the understanding that in his body, he was taking the place of the Son of God while he was still in flesh. You can accept that or not. That's the way I view it, right here with what he was doing. Because he wanted Christ to be enlarged in him, that there would be no question
whether he had to live for that to happen or whether he had to die for
it. If he had to die for it, the Son died for it and was raised back to life again. And Paul knows if he dies for it, what is he expecting? He's expecting an out resurrection. We ain't got there yet.
Yeah.
But we will, if the Lord will.
Come down the road.
We'll get there. Okay. Let's look at what goes with this. And then we'll go home. And we're going to look at two places in Colossians. We're going to look at Colossians 1:24, 1782, 1:24, Colossians 1:24, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. That's what he came to do. That's what wasn't told to nobody before about the body of Christ. A lot of people says, oh, I'm saved. I'm in the body of Christ. Do you really know? Do you really understand all that goes with that? Okay. Turn with me a page or two over. Colossians 4. Colossians 4:3. Paul says, with all praying, also for us. That's on page 1786 if you have a companion Bible. With all praying, also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance. What for? If he's going to open up a door of utterance, a door that we can speak into or through, to speak the mystery of Christ, he said, for which I am also in bonds or in chains. Paul says, that's why I'm in chains. I'm looking for these doors of utterance that I may go through and preach and tell the people about the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work and what he done for us, which includes the salvation, the saving, the doing away with the sins, and also to give you and I a place in the body of Christ, that we will be with him forever to rule and reign and to do his will wherever it be. Amen. In the universe of God, which we don't really know all that much about. Verse 20. Okay. There was another one or two there that we wanted to look at. Okay. Philemon 8. It was on 18:21. Not over there yet. Boy, Philemon's a little hard because it's not that big. It's behind Titus. Philemon, verse 8. Paul says, wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient. To enjoin or command thee that which is convenient. And then there's one more and we'll go home. Romans 8:19. See it. Kind of back and forth, back and forth. And I've got all kinds of bookmarks. And when I go to take some of them out, I'll look back and say, well, verse or two down here, I got to go back there. So. Romans 8:19 says this. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation or the unveiling of the sons of God. To wait, Paul says, for the manifestation or the unveiling of the sons of God. That was the earnest expectation and the hope that Paul had. Nothing to be ashamed of, to have boldness always, that Christ should be magnified in his body, that he will increase and Paul will decrease, if it be by life or death. Paul says, that is exactly what I'm here for. God bless you all and hope that you got something out of it, because this is great stuff.
Amen.
This is great stuff. It's something that hadn't been shown to anybody else. And Paul had somewhat like Christ had, because the people looked at Christ and said, this can't be the Son of God. He's making himself to be God. Well, Paul was just a little bit behind in this, but yet, he was doing it because he wanted to enlarge Christ any way that he could. And if it caused him to live or if it caused him to die. He had lived one time. He had died one time and he's alive again. So he knows that situation and he understands that.
Always intrigued me that there's extra sufferings that Paul had to do.
Yes.
To fulfill the body.
Well, he says, if they hated Christ, they're going to hate me.
Yeah.
They're going to hate you. If you proclaim Christ, then they're going to hate you too.
Yeah.
It's going to get that way.
Well,
it seems to be coming that direction now. So God bless us all. Thank you for your time, and I hope it will work well. God bless you, and we'll talk to you again, God willing.